Valorization rests upon the appropriation of unpaid labor time. The capitalist does not pay the value of the product created by workers, but pays the value of labor power. But, according to everyday consciousness, wages are regarded as payment for the labor performed. Exploitation as the normal state of capitalist production is not visible. Exploitation only seems to occur if a wage is too low. It seems as if the wage does not express the value of labor power, but rather the value of labor. Marx refers to the term value of labor as an imaginary and irrational expression. Labor, more precisely, abstract labor, is the substance and immanent measure of value. Labor creates value, but does not itself have value. If one speaks of the value of labor and asks how large the value of a workday of 8 hours is, then one would have to answer, the 8-hour workday has a value of 8 hours of labor, a statement that Marx rightly describes as absurd. However, the phrase value of labor is not just an absurd expression. Marx maintains that imaginary expressions like value of labor or value of land arise, nevertheless, from the relations of production themselves. They are categories for the forms of appearance of essential relations. The essential relation is the value of the commodity labor power, but it appears in the form of the wage as the value of labor. Such forms of appearance are reproduced directly and spontaneously as current modes of thought, whereas the essential relations must first be discovered by science. The value of labor is an inverted and incorrect conception, not brought about through conscious manipulation, but emerging from social relations. It is one of the objective forms of thought that structures the consciousness of people caught up within the conditions of capitalism. From the viewpoint of the worker, an 8-hour workday has to be fulfilled in order to obtain a particular wage amount. The wage seems to be the payment for this labor, an illusion further strengthened by the usual form of wages, the time rate, payment according to hours of work, and the piece rate, payment according to the number of articles produced. In the former case, it appears as if the labor performed during a particular unit of time is compensated, and in the latter case, the labor performed for the production of a single article. Capitalists also succumb to this illusion. It is a spontaneously emerging inversion of reality to which all participants, as well as the majority of economists, submit. As the wage is understood as payment for the value of labor, all labor seems to be paid labor. Surplus labor, unpaid labor, does not seem to exist. This inversion of reality has far-reaching consequences. All the notions of justice held by both worker and the capitalist, all the mystifications of the capitalistic mode of production, all capitalism's illusions about freedom, all the apologetic tricks of vulgar economics, have as their basis the form of appearance discussed above, which makes the actual relation invisible and indeed presents to the eye the precise opposite of that relation. The wage form constitutes the foundation for all further mystifications of the capital relation, which culminate in the Trinity formula. But at the present point, we must note that just as the spontaneous consciousness of all members of bourgeois society is subordinated to the fetish character of the commodity and money, both workers and capitalists are equally subordinate to the mystification of the wage form. The inversions generated by the capitalist mode of production do not stop at the doorstep of the ruling class. The insight of this class into social relations is therefore also limited. Nor does the ruled and exploited class enjoy a privileged position from which it is able to see through these inversions. The standpoint of the working class, much vaunted by traditional Marxists, is of no further help whatsoever.